Well, I hope as we talk about this story again tonight, you won't be bored because you've heard it before. And I hope that as you listen, you will maybe learn a little something new. Although if you don't, that's okay. One of the toughest questions that a parent encounters is when their child, who they've been taking to church all this time, finally looks at them and says, "Mom, Dad, what is God like?" And that's a tough question because actually, interestingly enough, the Bible says that God is ultimately, wait for a big word, incomprehensible. That's a big word. And what it means is that really we can't wrap our heads around what God is like because, as we just said, our God is so big. Our God is so strong. Our God is so mighty. That for us to understand the world inside our head, it's kind of tough. So when a parent has to answer that question, what is God like? They might roll around in their mind and try to think of what they learned in their catechism classes or in their Bible studies or something like that. They'll say, well, you know, God is eternal. God is infinite. God is invisible. God is holy. God is just. The problem with that is that may not connect very well with children. Does it mean infinite? Does it mean eternal? Does it mean invisible? Okay, invisible we can get to the PC. Right? But the other ones are difficult. So I want to talk to you about another way. Another way to help people understand who God is and what God is like. And what you can do is, Jesus. If someone asks you, what is God like? Point them to Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God's Son. And the Bible says that he is the exact representation. That is, he is a perfect image of God. You know when you hold up a mirror? Or you look into a mirror and you look at yourself in the mirror? That's the best way of seeing what you look like. Right? I mean, can any of you pull your eyes out of your head and turn you around so you can look in your face? No! So you look in a mirror, right? Just see what you are like. What do I look like? How's my hair? Did Glenn, your hair looks good today. Did you look in the mirror before church?
No.
Oh. But if you wanted to check your hair, what would you do?
Brush it.
Okay. You'd look in a mirror, right? You look in a mirror. Well, the Bible basically says that Jesus is God's mirror. Jesus is God's mirror. So if we want to understand what God is like, the best way for us to do that is to look at Jesus and see what he's like. And so in this story tonight, we're going to look at what Jesus is like. And we're going to hopefully understand how we can know Jesus as we learn what Jesus is like. Okay? What is Jesus like? And how can we know Jesus? Those are our two goals we're after tonight. Now, it all started with an argument. Jesus' disciples were arguing. And they were talking about who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And one of them, maybe it was Peter, said, you know, I'm the greatest in the kingdom of heaven because I'm the brave one. I'm the brave one. So I'm the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And maybe it was James or Andrew, one of the other ones, said, you know, I'm the greatest in the kingdom of heaven because, you know, I'm the stable one. Then they get all excited, like, or maybe it was John who walked up and said, look, guys, I've got you all beat. I'm the greatest in the kingdom of heaven because I'm the disciple of Jesus. He writes about it in his own gospel. And so they're arguing on and on about which one of them is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And they thought that they had to be something to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They thought they had to have some special ability or quality or characteristic that made Jesus love them. So maybe they had to be the strongest. Maybe they had to be the bravest. Maybe they had to be the richest. Maybe they had to be the kids to Jesus. Don't bring those little kids to Jesus. This is Jesus. He's an important rabbi. He's a great preacher. He's a wonderful miracle worker. He doesn't have time for these little kids. He doesn't have time to deal with these silly little children. He's a very busy and very important man. He doesn't have time for this kid stuff. As Jesus is walking around, he looks and he sees his disciples telling the little kids, stay away from Jesus. Because he's got important things to do. And you read in the story, it says that he was indignant. Now, I would go, hey. But really, the word says, ah, Jesus is angry. Like, really angry at his disciples for daring to block these poor little kids from coming to them. He's upset. And he says to them, he says, hey, you, disciples, stop it. Let those little kids come. Don't hinder them. Don't slow them down. Don't get in their way. Let them come to me, he says. You can picture it. 12 disciples know that maybe they have made a wall between Jesus and these kids. And look at Jesus and Peter and said, stop it, get out of the way. Let those kids through. And they just sort of stand out of the way. What do these kids do? They rush up to him. They all, run into Jesus, run into him. And Jesus, what does he do? We read that he scoops them up in his hands and he blesses them. He grabs them up in his arms, and you can imagine him swinging them around and giving them a big hug, and they're laughing and smiling. He sits down with them on his lap and he begins to teach them and talk to them. And as he's teaching and talking to them, this is the Son of God. Can you picture it? The Son of God himself sitting with these little children on his lap. And one of them stops in the middle of it. Stops in the middle of a very profound statement. He points at him and says, what's that? Now, I know that the text doesn't say exactly that. But you know what kids are like. And we're seeing a picture of what Jesus is like. It's at least possible. It's certainly not the stoic, staid, very awkward picture that we sometimes have of the Lord coming up. Jesus loved these kids. And what it means is that God loves the least of all. That's essentially what the story is telling us. That God loves the least important. You see, in that world, children were by far the least important part of society. Have any of you heard the statement, children should be seen and not heard? That was in the culture. Maybe you should maybe bring a little bit of that back. But that was a big time, children should be seen and not heard culture. Because you see, children are helpless. Children are sort of insignificant in the sense that they are not very capable. They're small. They're not worth much because they can't do much because they're little and they don't know much. So they were unimportant. They were insignificant. And essentially, they had no power. They had no influence. And they were ultimately helpless. And that's the point. See, that's the point. These kids were helpless because they had something in return. They just received the gift. And that's what Jesus did when he brought these children there. To teach his disciples that he loves the helpless, that we receive his gift only when we come and give him. Now, how do I illustrate this? A long part of how to illustrate this for you. And so I need a volunteer. My kids would have been. Nobody else would have been. I need a volunteer. You want to be my volunteer? Yeah, okay, come on up. Give me a hand. All right, come up right up to you. Now, the point of the story is to show that God gives gifts. He gives the gift of his love where he finds and contains. And C.S. Lewis at one point said, you know, you can't receive the gift if your hands are full of purses. And so I want to illustrate what that principle is to you. So you just stay right there, okay? Okay, here's your purse. Yeah, in your hand. That says my brain. Alright? So that's your brain. Okay? Hold on tight. Here's your money. You've got a lot of money. Well, it's coming. Very fine. Alright. There's your looks. So we have your brain, upside down brain, that's okay. Your money, and your looks. These are things that you possess. You're a very worthy person. Lots of brains, lots of money, lots of looks. You got it all, sister.